Still chapter 15, verse 1 to 20. Okay, let me start. Verse 1. Then some Pharisees and teachers of the law came to Jesus from Jerusalem and asked, Jesus replied, "And why do you break the command of God for the sake of your tradition? But you say that if a man says to his father or mother, 'Whatever help you might otherwise have received from me is a gift devoted to God,' you hypocrites, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men." What goes into a man's mouth does not make him unclean, but what comes out of his mouth, that is what makes him unclean. He replied, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be pulled up by the roots. Peter said, "Explain the parable to us." "Don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then out of the body?" "For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander." Amen. This is the word of God. May God bless all of us with his living word. Bible says, truth and grace came through Jesus Christ. Do you believe this? Our Lord's great concerns are truth and love. In the first part of this chapter 15, Jesus, our Lord, is teaching truth and exposing humans' hypocrisy. You know, during his ministry on earth, his main enemies were not Roman governments or Roman soldiers or Gentiles, but Jewish religious leaders, such as the Pharisees and teachers of the law. You know, in this book, Matthew, in chapter 9, the Pharisees attacked Jesus Christ with this question: Why do your disciples not fast? And again in chapter 12, they attacked once again with this question: why do your disciples do what is unlawful on the Sabbath? And then today's story, again and again, they attacked Jesus with this question: why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? So now they are ready to debate Jesus Christ about his disregard of their traditions and rituals. Verse 1 and 2 says, verse 1 and 2, then some Pharisees and teachers of the law came to Jesus from Jerusalem and asked, Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? They don't wash their hands before they eat. A delegation, another delegation came to Jesus to attack him, to challenge him from Jerusalem. You know, at that time, Jerusalem was the center of the Jews' authority. This delegation consists of the Pharisees and teachers of the law. Yes, the Pharisees are the ones who educated detailed obedience to the Jews' traditions and law. Also, the teachers of the law, were professional interpreters of the law, who especially emphasized their tradition. Then, in their history, over the centuries, since the Jews returned from Babylonian captivity, hundreds of religious traditions had been added to God's law. Then the Pharisees and teachers of the law considered all of them equally important. They believed their religious traditions, commentaries, and exhortation that were considered very, very important and memorized and passed on from generation to generation, went all of the way back to Moses. Then one of these huge traditions was washing hands before eating. Did you wash your hands before eat? Yes, we know washing hands before eating is good for physical health in hygiene. But for them, washing hands was totally ceremonial matter, religious matter, spiritual matter, moral matter. So to them, if something is unclean, morally, ceremonially, religiously, that uncleanness is transferable, infectious. For example, if this is unclean, if I touch this one, I am unclean. And somebody touch me, he will be unclean. Uncleanness is transferable, infectious. Then, to the Jews, every Gentile was unclean totally, spiritually, religiously, ceremonially, morally. So everybody at the time, the Jews washed their hands every time they came back home from outside, especially from marketplace. You know, at the time in their community life, in their daily life, they could not escape dealings with Gentiles in buying and selling in marketplace. So not only the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, but also all ordinary Jewish people did not eat unless they gave their hands ceremonial washing. And holding the tradition of the elders, also they observed many other washings, such as the washing of cups, washing of glasses, pitchers, kettles, even clothes. Their faith, their wrong faith was cleaning, washing hands meant he was clean spiritually and had the right to worship and approach God. But not washing hands before eating meant he was unclean and had no right to worship God or approach God. These traditions, These oral traditions were handed down from generation to generation through long time, and finally these traditions were written down, and finally this oral law became Mishnah. Have you heard of Mishnah? M-I-S-H-N-A-H, Mishnah. And unfortunately, this Mishnah became more important, more authoritative than the original law of Moses. With this wrong conviction, they attacked Jesus Christ. Why? Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? Actually, this means directly, why do you break the tradition of the elders? To this challenge, Jesus did not answer directly, but Jesus dealt with the issue of authority, man's tradition versus God's truth. To you, to us, which is more important, man's tradition or God's command, God's truth? Same? Okay, shall we see next verse? Jesus' reaction to their charge. Verse 3 to 6, Jesus replied, and why? Another why. Jesus replied, why do you break the command of God for the sake of your tradition? For God said, honor your father and mother, and anyone who curses his father or mother must be put to death. But you say that if a man says to his father or mother, whatever help you might otherwise have received from me is a gift devoted to God. A gift devoted to God is called korban in Hebrew word, korban. Verse 6, he is not to honor his father with it. Thus you nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition. Yes, they first attacked, challenged Jesus Christ, why do you break the tradition of the elders? Actually, their intention, their hidden intention was you, pointing Jesus, you are breaking the command of God, because to them, the command of God and tradition of the elders equal in power, in authority. But Jesus' reaction to their charge was that it is not I, but you who are breaking the command of God by practicing your own tradition made by man. And then Jesus proceeded with an illustration in verse 4 to 6. This is korban, a gift or offering devoted to God. The Hebrew word korban means just a gift or offering devoted, dedicated to God. You know, at the time, if a Jew wanted to escape some financial responsibilities, he could say, oh, this money was given to God. This money is a korban. All my things, all my furniture, all my money, all my property, korban means given to God. To escape giving her parents and family members. You know, imagine if a man had a father or a mother in poverty, in need, then his poor parents came to him to receive physical and financial help. Then there was one way in which she or he could escape helping her parents, his parents. And then he said, all my things offered, given to God, and he or she could say, parents, Mom, my dear mom, my dear daddy, I'm sorry, I cannot give you anything. I'm nothing. I have nothing to give you because all my things already given to God. I feel very sorry. Oh. In doing so, they were losing the power of the word of God in their life. Also at the same time, hurting their own character and missing God's blessing. Korban rule would make a person dishonor parents, also at the same time disobey God, God's truth. What is the difference between human's tradition and God's truth? Man's tradition is something external, but God's truth is internal, in the hearts. You know, men, all human beings obey man's tradition to please man and to gain status. But we must obey the truth of God to please God. Human tradition deals with ritual, but God's truth deals with reality. Tradition brings empty words into the lips, into the mouth. But God's truth penetrates our heart and changes our life. So actually, tradition robs a person of the power of the word of God. Then unfortunately, even today, nowadays, around us, there are many, many evangelical traditions in the churches today. Man-made teachings that are often considered as authoritative as the word of God, even though they contradict God's word. So Jesus declared in one word to them, what is this verdict of Jesus Christ against them? In verse 7, we can see, verse 7 to 9, you hypocrites. Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Verse 9, they worship me in vain. Are you worshiping God? Truly? Honestly? They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men. Jesus called them in one word, hypocrites, hypocrites. You hypocrites. The Greek word hypocrites means originally actor. Do you like actor? Actress, actor. It means spiritually to pretend to be holy and close to God and judging all other people as sinners. But what they pretend on outside is not true in the inside. We must know that we must not worship for appearance. We must not worship for showing, but out of love for God. You know, when we claim to honor God while our hearts are far from Him, also our worship means nothing. Our worship means nothing. We are worshiping God in the name of Jesus Christ. But if our hearts are far from Him, our worshiping now is nothing. It is not enough to act religious. It is not enough to study about religion. It is not enough even to study the Bible. We must respond to God Himself, personally. What is worship? Yes, we can say something about worship. Very easy, but very difficult. I once introduced one definition about worship. Some said, William Temple defined the worship like this. To worship is to quicken the conscience by the holiness of God, to feed the mind with the truth of God, to purge the imagination by the beauty of God, to give the heart to the love of God, to devote the will to the purpose of God. Religion can never be founded on any ceremonies or rituals, but religion must be founded on personal relationships between God and man and man and man. And Jesus continued his teaching about truth of God and tradition of human beings. Verse 10 to 11. Verse 10 to 11, Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen and understand. What goes into a man's mouth does not make him unclean. But what comes out of his mouth, that is what makes him unclean." What did you eat this morning for breakfast? Uncleanness or defilement is not external matter, such as keeping food laws or washing hands ceremonially or keeping the Sabbath requirements, but an internal one, the matter of hearts. Holiness begins in the heart. Also, sin begins in the heart. Just as the prophet Jeremiah had said several hundred years before, the heart is deceitful above all things, beyond cure. Who can understand it? Please remember, anything we are doing starts from our hearts. What is the heart? The heart is the center of man's affections, desires, passions, intentions, attitude. Shall we see next paragraph? Verse 12 to 14 says, "Then the disciples came to him and asked, 'Do you know that the Pharisees were offended?' They did not understand. They were angry. They were upset, troubled. The Pharisees were offended when they heard this." What is this? Verse 11. Jesus replied, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be pulled up by the roots. Leave them. They are blind guys. If a blind man leaves a blind man, both will fall into a pit." You know, at the time, the concept that people were not unclean by food was very, very shocking and revolutionary to the Jews, especially to the Pharisees and teachers of the law, religious leaders. Yes, even today, in application in our daily life, Christian life, same. Please remember, we must not offend others because of food. Also, at the same time, we must not be offended by others because of food. For example, do you eat dogs? Do you eat cats? How about do you eat snakes? Do you eat cockroach? You know, I watched in news, in a certain place in China, cockroach food industry is growing. They are growing cockroach for business. Anyway, eating or not is not a matter of religion. not a matter of spirituality, but a matter of physical health, dietary, social, cultural, or personal habit. Jesus declares already in Mark 7:19, all foods clean before God. All foods clean. Also, Romans chapter 14 is more clear in the declaration of this matter. The man who eats everything must not look down on the man who does not eat. Also, at the same time, the man who does not eat everything must not criticize, must not condemn the man who does. Why? Because God has accepted both. God accepted this man, also this man. Who are you to judge someone else's servant, slave? Only to his own master, only to his own Lord, he stands or falls. Yes, those who eat must not despise those who do not eat, saying, oh, you are weak, you are cowardly. Also, those who do not eat must not criticize or condemn those who eat, saying, you are unclean, you are unholy, unhuman. Romans 14, 17 says, the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but a matter of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And finally, Jesus repeated once again patiently, because Peter asked this question one more time. From verse 16 to last verse, Peter said, explain the parable to us. Are you still so dull? Jesus asked them. Don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then out of the body. But the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart, and these make a man unclean. For out of the heart come evil thoughts. There are six examples, six lists of evil thoughts, evil actions out of evil thoughts. Murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander, these are what make a man unclean. But eating with unwashed hands does not make him unclean. Sometimes Peter acted as a spokesman for other disciples. So now Peter asked Jesus to explain this parable one more time. So Jesus patiently repeated the same word he said before. So I must say once again, please be patient with me when I repeat. Okay, let me repeat once again. Moral defilements, spiritual uncleanness has nothing to do with food. Sin, you know, man's heart is what defiles that person. I said already the heart. What is the heart? The heart is the center of a man's affections and desires, passions, dreams, hope. Then Jesus Christ makes it clear why we sin. It is a matter of the heart. You know, when we become Christian, Jesus makes us totally different in inside. And then God will continue this process of change in our inside if we ask, if we want only. And God wants us to see health thoughts, health intentions, health attitudes, not just healthy food and exercise. And then Jesus shows six lists of evil actions out of evil thoughts and out of evil hearts. shall see one by one briefly. In verse 19, the out of the house come evil souls. First, murder. Yes, murder is killing a person, taking his or her God-given life. And adultery. Yes, adultery is having sex with someone other than one's spouse. And sexual immorality or fornication. Fornication is engaging in various kinds of extramarital sexual activity. And theft. Theft is stealing. Theft is taking something that belongs to someone else. And false testimony or false witness. False testimony is tricking or misleading by lying. And slander, yes, slander is destroying another's good reputation through half-truth and telling a lie. Please imagine if religion consists in external regulations and observances, it is two things. First, it is far too easy, very, very easy. It is very much easier to abstain from certain foods and to wash hands in certain way than it is to love our enemies, to love the unlovely, unlovable, and to help the needy at the cost of our own money, time, energy, comfort, pleasure. Too easy, so easy. Yes, we are worshiping God outwardly, externally. That's good. Yes, to go to church regularly, to give liberally to church regularly, and to be a member of a Bible study, Bible reading circle, to join any activity or a ministry of a local church. All are external things, outward things. Yes, they are very, very essential, necessary in Christian life, very necessary for us to grow in faith. But remember, they are not religion themselves. They are means toward true religion. We can never too often remind ourselves religion consists in personal relationship and personal attitudes to God and other fellow men. And also secondly, if religion consists in only outward external regulations and observances, it is quite misleading. You know, it is possible that many, many people have a faultless, almost a perfect life in externals, but have bitterness, and the most evil souls inside the hearts. The teaching of Jesus Christ is not all the outward observances can atone for heart, where pride, lust, bitterness hold sway. The part of a person that matters is the heart, his heart. Yes, we know, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Do you see God? Bible says, blessed are the pure in heart, they will see God. Why? Because God sees, God looks at our heart. So if our heart is pure before God, we can see God. God wants us to give him our hearts, not just our lip service. Bible says it is with our hearts that we believe and we are saved and we are justified. Yes, if you believe in Jesus Christ, if we believe in Jesus Christ, we believe in our hearts, with our hearts. It means we worship from the heart. We sing from the heart. We dance from the heart. We give from the heart. We serve from the heart. We glorify God from the heart. We give from the heart. May God bless all of us, especially our hearts. Our heart is the center of everything, anything we are doing. God is looking at our hearts. May God bless all of us. Shall we pray together? Father God, honestly speaking, we have nothing to hide from you, from your eyes. Please cleanse our heart. Purify our hearts through the most precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. We remember your word, Jesus' word. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God, because God sees our heart. Father, receive our heart. Help us to worship you from our heart. Help us to serve you and other people from our heart. Father, sometimes we are hypocrites, just like the Pharisees. Not only they are Pharisees, but also there are many, many Pharisees even today, even in church building. Father, help us to be sincere before you. Help us to be honest before you all the time, so that our worship may be acceptable, our service may be acceptable, our ministry may be acceptable by you, for your kingdom, for your glory, for your purpose. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.